हर स्क्रिप्ट का अपना एक सफर होता है, तो चलिए ऐसे ही एक सफर पे जिसका नाम है स्क्रिप्ट नामा। हेलो एंड वेलकम टू द सेकंड सीजन ऑफ स्क्रिप्ट नामा, एक ऐसा पॉडकास्ट जो कहानी के पीछे की कहानी सुनाता है। टुडे वी हैव विद अस वन ऑफ द फाइनेस्ट एंड बोल्ड स्क्रिप्ट राइटर्स ऑफ इंडियन फिल्म इंडस्ट्री। शी इज समवन फॉर हुम वी हैव बीन वेटिंग फॉर अ लॉन्ग टाइम, एंड व्हेन शी अग्रीड टू डू द शो विद अस वी फेल्ट अ छपाक ऑफ हैप्पीनेस फ्लैशिंग ओवर आवर फेसेस। इफ आवर कन्वर्सेशन गोज राइट, आई माइट हैव अ मार्गरेट विद अ स्ट्रॉ टू एंजॉय माय इवनिंग। अब आप सब लोग उलझ ना जाए, इसलिए लेट मी इंट्रोड्यूस द गेस्ट ऑफ द शो, गेस्ट फॉर टुडेज एपिसोड। प्लीज वेलकम मिस अतिका चौहान। She is a fantastic writer and we are hoping to have a great time with her. Welcome to the show, ma'am.
ये बिल्कुल ऐसा introduction मुझे कभी नहीं मिला है, so thank you so much for this. मुझे लग रहा है कुछ और पिछड़े कर लेती तो कुछ और लंबा introduction बन जाता।
Just to start, like, what is your mindset right now? What's in your mind right now?
At least 3 scripts and a film that's going into production in 10 days. So I'm like literally recovering from the intense rewrites that are happening last minute, but then that's also what's exciting about my life. And yeah, I look forward to this idea of like being in a situation where, I mean, there's also my film that's going to be premiered at Cannes in the next 10 days, which is Agra, a film that I co-wrote with the director Kanu Behel 7 years ago. So it's been a good month. It's been a very satisfactory month.
I think it's an ideal dream of a writer to get such a busy week.
Yes, it's amazing that I have a film in Cannes and I have a film going into production in the same week in May. So it's a dream come true, seriously.
Why don't we go into a flashback of how and when Atika got an idea of becoming a screenwriter?
I have known this since I was around 6 or 7 that I want to write fiction. And I became audio-video journalist, which is that I was with a news channel for a while, that I realized that storytelling for video also comes naturally to me. So, and it was not even me. I'm the type who always feel like an imposter everywhere. Like, that's just something that walks with me in every room. That's just this personality syndrome. So I wasn't really sure if I was doing it right. It was just that it was fun. And I developed a thing for it. And then I was told by my colleagues that maybe you have a flair for this. And that kind of gave me hope. And that pushed me to take the film school exam, honestly.
Or what are the ingredients or skill set to become a very good screenwriter?
The difference between being a fiction writer when you write for a novel or a long form, which is prose, and when you write for cinema is that it requires for you to understand that writing for cinema is not dependent on language alone. While even writing for even prose will not just depend on language alone. It also will require an understanding of narrative structure, three act structure. There's the art of translating a concept or a story into a structure, which is basically, what is a structure? Structure is basically arrangement of truth in a manner that is most effective for what that theme is. So some of this is something that will vary from human to human, depending on where they are in terms of their own evolution. And even if I were to not like sound so judgmental as to who am I to really judge who's evolved, who's not. But let's say it completely depends on what has been their life experience. Like, so everyone will read the theme of any story in a different way. Now, the idea is to, if I were to like separate personal growth or personal EQ from just the basic application of tools, I would say that the idea is to apply the theme onto the narrative. This is the job of any storyteller. There are two aspects to any kind of storytelling. One is the story and one is the telling of it. And the telling of it is what we are like basically selling to the world as screenwriters, especially who work on commissioned assignments or who have a dream to work with, like collaborate with like masterly directors. The idea is to take something that they have and then to shape it. Sometimes some directors will come to you with like very detailed stories. Sometimes they know what the third act is going to be about and they really don't know what's going to happen before or in between. This is then your job, because if you understand your tools, then you will be able to conceive of something that will very satisfactorily lead to certain conclusions. Maybe sometimes, like most of the projects that I have been roped in on, my directors knew where the story began, but they did not know what exactly what should it lead to as a satisfactory ending. And then we found it together.
So from writing the first script to getting the credit for the first script that was sold and made into a film, how was that journey? How long was that journey?
This is what happened. Maya's Jal, every time Maya's Jal went to someone, they said, this is interesting. Like, I remember I got a call from Yash Raj and that was, I was ecstatic. Because I'm like, why? I mean, imagine like getting a call from Yash Raj. And I couldn't believe that if they would even like read my script. But they did. And they called me. And I wasn't recommended by anybody. The office actually, the studio actually read it and called me back. And they said, so this is what I was told. They said that, kuch khurafat hai teri soch mein. We like it. We want you to apply this quality to something that we are doing. This, but they said that we can't make this. This is great. We can't make this. And it was maybe 15 years too early for its time, you know. And but there is something to the way you position your characters or what you're doing with them. We want you to bring this to our story. Then the thing is, that's what happened. They had actually asked me to write a film, but that film did not take off. Like, we didn't even get into the writing of it. I was asked to wait and like let go of other projects and to start working for them, but then that never took off. And then to compensate for that kind of waiting and delaying and like making me wonder what's really going on, they made me join the room for Rishta.com, which was a show that they were making at that time. And so then that is why my first job in Bombay was Rishta.com, because I wrote 4 episodes for Rishta.com.
Let's come to your film that we want to discuss, Chapak. Will you say that you found the story or did the story find you?
The subject already belonged to Meghna Gulzar. She was wanting to work on that biography for a while. That's she in fact was looking for a writer collaborator keenly in the industry at the time. I was already so I had written Waiting and I had also done the first few drafts of Agra, and I had met Honey Trehan, who that time was the casting director moving into direction many times. And Honey has been very, like, Honey has been a huge support. Like, he was very vocal about his admiration for my work. He was in close touch with Meghna because he works in that camp. Like, he was always in Vishal's. He was Vishal's associate for a while. So, when Meghna started asking out for a writer who can bring that kind of feminist sort of perspective, Honey thought of me. And that's how the journey began. Like, so basically he made the two of us meet, and then it was supposed to be an interview. And of course I met Meghna like 6 months after she had made Talwar. So for me, it was like, I couldn't believe that I have just walked into the same room as the director of Talwar. I'm still such a big fan of that film. That film, like, it never gets old, right? Like, so I couldn't believe it, because I mean, I had like, you know, when you are younger, you are very arrogant, and with the years as they pass, you just realize how you were just basically a fool. So I couldn't believe that with all the hawa that I had in my head about my own self when I walked into that room with Meghna, like I just felt so small. And you know, I couldn't believe that she thought my ideas were good. I couldn't believe that. So this is how the arrangement was kind of like, this is how I got the job. I think each job in my career I've got because I've done something that inspired other people to take a look at what I can do to something that they were doing. It was a very research extensive project. Like it was, we not just workshopped with Lakshmi and Alok. We of course did extensive interviews with them and sat them down and all that. We also like studied a lot of the other cases and tried to understand legally the history of acid attack as it is recorded. So we had to read a lot, and then we were in extended conversations with the lawyer who handled Lakshmi's case over what, like 15 years. And I had like some 5 judgments to go through of Lakshmi's case herself, minor judgments and 2 major. And then I had to also look at it in the context of how IPC changed around then after Justice Karvarma committee came in after the Nirbhaya case, and how acid attack basically, and so what was the history of who petitioned for the first time for revision in gender laws. So all of that history had to be kind of like ingested before we could even take a perspective on what the narrative should look like, how the story can't just be about Lakshmi while it is about Lakshmi. So for us to understand, we are not telling you the story of just Lakshmi and her acid attack. We are telling you the story of acid attack in the country, while the larger context is we're telling you the story of patriarchy in this country.
So how did you decide those things? Like how did you... So I imagine you had a ton of research at your end.
We had endless discussions. I mean, the idea as a younger writer, like you feel like you have the burden of like leading the conversations, and then the director with her wisdom and sagacity had like, her job was to like sift through my ideas and like let me know how to shape this up. So she would guide me from the outside, and then we would arrive at like, for me it was mostly like give her, you know, it was my job to lead with narrative ideas. Like, so then we locked on one, then we started building it. And then we shaped that up together.
So it was all a matter of discussion that, you know, we can take this for a script and then we will have to leave these things apart because it doesn't fit into your script. So I'm trying to understand how it was written, like how Chapak was written and how you took the decision ki acha ye cheeze script mein hongi jo ki real life se hai aur ye cheeze script mein nahi hongi halanki wo real life mein hui hai.
Structurally, we try to understand what are our themes. Uske around humne ek dusre ko kahani ke ideas ek dusre ko bolne shuru kiye, aur fir ek decision aaya ki aisa lag raha hai ki ye story theek lag rahi hai, first act mein yoga, second act mein yoga, third act. Fir usko formally paper pe likha, fir wo ek point pe aisa lagne laga ki at least as a placeholder ye story theek hai, and then I immediately started writing a screenplay. So I started breaking the story down into scenes. But the best part about screenwriting is that you have to arrive at story beats, not in the exact mechanical order of what you have laid down in your story, because a story for a film is always a placeholder. It's the place where you begin. It's not the place where you end. So it's literally just a way of like telling ourselves that this is where we are hinging it at, just so that we can begin. But we know that the entire process is that it's going to be constantly evolving. And if we find while writing, we discover like something highly dramatic or something that we were not aware of earlier as creators, we will obviously build those parts. These aspects of creating were already very clear to us, that this is how things are done, right? And so we already were bringing that kind of chop to the table. And... I started screenplaying the story, and then we started finding scenes and we started finding Malati's voice, and then we were like 40 pages down, and I remember I was very fearful of sharing this with Meghna, sharing it with Meghna then, and she read it and she was like, "Isme to bahut kuch acha hai," karti jao.
Nice.
So then, you know, so that just felt like, okay, I may be taking the right direction. And idea was to get to a draft one, like end draft one quickly, so that we know then how this is looking like. And then you obviously go into further drafts. So we were like, I think in total we did four drafts. And then after location and all of that, so yeah, I think eighth draft was a shooting draft.
So now let's talk about the character building. How much of Lakshmi is Malati and how much of Malati is Lakshmi? And where did you find your voice to, oh, this is my Malati?
The minute we found a Malati, our job was to continue to be consistent to that Malati on paper. That Malati was the combination of who the real Lakshmi was in consonance with who is the right hero to represent this film. Because a hero in that sense in this film also needed like some sort of like a community. It had a burden of being the leader of a community. So she needed to be somewhere, the character needed to be in a slightly more aware place than just Malati alone, right? So Lakshmi could, for example, there were lots of, if you'll see Lakshmi or if you'll even see her interviews, there is a lot of fire and passion in her speech. And we tried to tap into all that. But we knew that there are certain aspects which were very idiosyncratic, which were very quirky and which were very characteristic to Lakshmi herself, which we needed to somewhere mute or like expand in a way where other characteristics can also come to sound grave at moments. Like we had to play around with some of those things. So we chose to keep a personality which allowed us to have sort of like a larger mic, you know, like we can say more things. Having said that, because we knew how she was in person, she was like, there was so, her bravery was effortless. It wasn't like sanctimonious. Her bravery is not righteous. There's something about her which is very grounded and very childlike. And that innocence in her is gorgeous. So somewhere that needed to be like, we had to like sort of like pay homage to, because it was ultimately a character derived from her. So if you remember Chapak, there are scenes where, for example, she can't stop giggling when, you know, Alok is shooting her. This is actually from their life. This has actually happened to them. They describe this dating experience, that this is how their romance actually began. So they told us that, so we actually distilled that. Lakshmi has that tendency where she can be extremely giggly and, you know, fun in a conversation. Like she'll just keep laughing and she'll just like, it's a laugh a minute, like a thing with her. And she sings really well. And, you know, she has that very, like, she will just zone out in a room and she will just like be in a corner and she'll start singing to herself even while everyone else is doing the thing. Like she was with us for 2 days and she just had a tendency to zone out and do her own thing. And she was here for the interviews in Bombay, and I knew that they wanted to, like, after the interviews she wanted to go out and shop. And it was so cute.
That's my question, how you retain the truth of the story in a fictionalized script?
The answer to this should be the thumb rule of each adaptation in your life. Like, even if it's a biography or you're adapting a book, I don't think you need to stay loyal to every story beat in a way which limits your imagination. What you need to stay actually take from or feel inspired from is the essence or the spiritual themes of that story. So you need to only look at achieving that. You don't need to be imitative in your adaptation. So you can actually take a core theme or like of any story. As long as you're meeting the larger story beats, you don't have to follow everything dramatically, loyally, as it happened in the original. like in the case of so many Shakespearean adaptations, you see that we arrive at certain plot points, but not necessarily through the route that were taken in the original. But there are these, for example, if you look at a timeline of a story and you can break it down into 5 big, you know, plot points, you remember you have to arrive at them in a stealthy way, because you don't have to keep it on nose that, okay, now I'm arriving at that dramatic point that happens at this point, you know. You just arrive at it in a very natural way that naturally belongs to that world that you are creating now. Stay faithful to your positioning in the world that you're creating right now. Stay faithful to that. But otherwise, you can just please be playful in your adaptations while only staying, faithful to the larger story beats. Like your narrative should end, and even with the way the narrative ends, you have the right, if in biographies also, I think we should have the right to finally lead the narratives to give a larger philosophical message. It should always go above one man or one woman. Like, otherwise, why are you telling a film? Because a third act needs to be greater than one human being. Always. Like, even in an Abraham Lincoln film, you will see, like, the third act will always be about that time or that country or that ideology. It has to be a larger philosophical point. It has to be bigger than one human being.
When writing that screenplay, how do you decide, like, which event or parts of her life will be a part of script? Like, we see the court proceedings, we see the PIL being filed, we see the medical treatment, and we also see the personal emotional journey of Malati. And I assume there must be 10 more points, parts of her life. But how did you as a screenwriter decide ki I will stick to this?
It's a very simple organizing principle. It's everything that needs to be dramatically dwelt upon on screen needs to be spelled out. Like, everything that needs that, the parts that were the most challenging are the parts that need to be captured by the screenplay. So sometimes there are those moments. Sometimes they are a big chunk, like sometimes it's a big chunk of her like going through a grueling legal procedure. So it's the part which is going to be dramatically very rich on screen. That's how you decide, like, because ultimately you want to engage.
How do you approach rewriting?
There is no getting out of it, because rewriting is writing.
Yes,
it is only in the rewrites that the beats become crisp. It is only in the rewriting that we discover it. It is only the creative solutions. Each time, like, someone keeps giving you feedback. Sometimes, you know, their feedback, the language of the feedback may be very, has pushed you away from where the solutions are. But you need to look at it like, if someone's pointed out an area, like if someone's reasonable enough and you trust their judgment. And if they're pointing out a certain thing and 5 people out of 10 have pointed out at the same area of problem in the script, maybe they're not equipped enough to offer solutions. So don't listen to the solutions, but do understand that there's something that's not working, which is why a lot of people are pointing out something.
Address the problem that exists.
Yes. First, acknowledge that there is a problem. Like, sometimes we just want to believe that there is no rewrite required. And that is where it is. That is why some films just end up being good films. They never become great films.
Right.
So, from the journey from good to great is to understand and to recognize and to humbly acknowledge that, yes, this part may not be working. Maybe there's more drama in this that's not come out, and it will come out with more passes. So, we shouldn't be... Actually, the writing is all in the subsequent drafts.
So, how to get that objectivity right? What one should ask themselves when they are reading or rereading their drafts?
I think you should leave it alone for some time after writing it. Like, you are always very blind to your... You know, what you have written, either you'll hate it or you'll love it too much at the moment that you've written it. You need to give it like perhaps a few months. If you can't afford a few months, a few weeks, you will never be able to have a perspective on what actually you have written. You need some distance for sure. So, and the other thing is, of course, like if you have a tribe of like even 3 trusted people who may not even be screenwriters, but basically you know that their emotional responses are very strong. Or they have a very strong EQ. Because I really value people with strong EQ. For me, more than like, I don't want technical appraisal from my readers. I actually want them, I want to know tum roye kab. Kaun si line pe rona aaya? Kahan pe hansi aayi? Did you understand this aspect? Wo kya kar raha tha? Uska intention kya tha? Motive kya tha? Usne kya chupaya? Like, did you see woh usne jhoot bola tha? Did you see uska pay? Yahan, and you know, even lay readers are able to gauge this. Because everyone watches films, right? So everyone has already developed that intellect to break down the film as much. So that journey, if they do with you, because then I question my readers. Ki tumhe yahan pe kya laga? Isme kya laga? Ye maza aaya? Ye maza aaya? So I then start a conversation around it for me to ask the right, for me to get those responses from them.
When do you approach dialogue writing? During rewrites? Or what is the process of writing dialogues? Because you had written really some...
I actually, yeah. So for me, I can't separate dialogue from screenplay. I have a... I don't know if I'm good at it. But for me, my personal process is that I do a structured scene down, scene breakdown simultaneously. Like I'm not able to move on till I know how the first 20-25 pages of my screenplay are looking with dialogues. And unless I have... Like I need to find... The biggest struggle that I always have is to find the voices of my principal characters. The minute I find those voices, like by 20th page normally, it's pretty much cracked. I think after that, I move easily.
And what would you tell writers who are continuously, like you and me, we all go through the phase of self-doubt, insecurity and lack of confidence. And one very important imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I always feel I have read this somewhere. Yeah, my original nahi hai. Ye dialogue maine nahi likha hai. So what you tell, like what you want to tell to them?
That we always will feel inadequate is something we should now accept. Like as if you are actually maybe that's a sign of a true writer. Like you should really be grounded and really look at it like you're not, it's not like you are the original leader or creator of emotions. Human emotions ka hi kaam kar rahe hai na. To human emotions humne nahi banaye hain. Hum sirf unko chronicle kar rahe hain. Aur kyunki hum agar faithfully chronicle karenge to hamare se pehle bhi kisi ne kiya hoga aur hamare baad bhi koi karega. To hum jis time mein hain hum us time ko capture kar rahe hain aur chronicle kar rahe hain. Agar hum us job ko thoda if we like bring ourselves on the ground, it becomes easy.
Looking back 10 years, 15 years and now, has your process changed, evolved or you're like, I'm sticking to what I used to do.
I don't do the mandatory step outlines anymore. Like I just now, because I don't waste my time writing very detailed step outlines. I have developed a sharper sense of how much scenes are going to flow. Mm-hmm. Once I develop a larger understanding of the structure, I do a beat sheet privately for me. And I know a lot of people do that too. Like I just do a one liner. I'll do a one-line beat sheet and then around that I will start finding the story. So then I'll just start keep building into my beat sheet and then my beat sheet will swell up and then between that only my scenes begin to like they just start shaping up and then the minute I have like the first four moments I just start writing. Once I start writing then but if on 20th page, if I found the voice of my character, then I never look back at the beat sheet. By the time I have already internalized it, then I will just take the zero draft onwards. So instead of wasting time doing a step outline, I now invest time on the zero draft. Like I use all my time to quickly write a dialogue draft of my screenplay and I call it my zero draft.
And how comfortable you are writing song situations in the script nowadays?
It's a necessary part of, for especially like I'm a writer who's traveled from indie to intelligent commercial. And I know that there are parts of the script which will require me to montage something and say playback song one, you know. Best part is that now we live in a time where we know that it is going to be a very important part of storytelling itself. So now we have to skillfully conflate it. Like I am going to put the song at a point where I know I want the story to move faster. And it's like also a transition point for story to move faster. So this is a great time for us to have a stanza of a song coming in.
We can't let you go without your recommendations. So please recommend some films and series that every writer should, you know, see to just learn screenwriting from watching something on screen.
I know that there are few films that are right now at this moment, also like the last few years. These are my text films. So I would just share them. Prisoners, Denis Villeneuve. Burning, the Korean film. Then Nayak, Satyajit Ray. I don't think there is a better screenplay written than Eternal Sunshine. Like for me, that has been my textbook. Just rereading Eternal Sunshine aligns me. Like, you know, every time I feel it really scattered, I read the screenplay of Gone Girl, which I loved. I love the screenplay of Social Network. This is also something I'd like to tell younger screenwriters. Actually, don't talk to older screenwriters. Don't waste your time like buying some expensive workshops on screenwriting. Please read a screenplay a week. Please read a screenplay a week of your favorite film and read it properly. Like, and watch the film and then go back and read your screenplay and then go back and watch the film and then see everything that there is possibility to, like, YouTube the fuck out of it and just like stay with it. And you will get more out of that exercise than you would from like multiple lessons with some where you will pay a lot of money to some fancy screenwriter. They're just like wasting your time. No one can teach you to do this. You'll have to teach it yourself. There's one more thing that I'd like to say. This is something, it's just a practitioner's hack. Like how no cookbook in the world can make you a cook. And no driving manual can make you a driver. Neither can a filmmaking course or a film writer workshop will make you a trained or a skilled writer, a screenwriter. Screenwriting itself will teach you to write screenwriting better. Like you want to do better screenwriting, write more, fail more. I have put 15 years of insane amount of hours into screenwriting and I think I'm a terrible screenwriter. I'm a terrible screenwriter. The only thing, most redeeming thing about me has been that I have just been like shameless. Like I have gone back to it repeatedly, failed again on paper, have been shamed by many people, including some really illustrious directors, ki ye kya likha hai. And I have gone back and I've had the courage to restart it because I really believe that, you know, that's the only way one will learn. And all of us are students of writing. And it's a very humbling process. Like if you ever want to get your ego kind of like checked, start screenwriting. So, you know, you will be apni aukaat samajh aa jayegi jaldi se. And so for me, this is the one advice that don't waste your time looking for solutions outside of you. Use all your time to actually focus on the craft because it's all there. Like how you can learn, people can learn guitar off the YouTube. Are you saying you can't learn screenwriting by reading screenplays? You will, that's the only way you'll read. That's the only way you will learn. You just need to read screenplays. And so this is the thing you will find out that some screenwriters are also their own directors. And then, for example, their shooting drafts or their screenwriting is very different. Like, have you ever read an Ari Aster screenplay? It's detailed to the T, to a degree where it's so cluttered. There's so much black on white. Where you're like, my God, like, how does one find the story in this? But if you see the film, you know, his beats are so sharp. His scenes are so sharp. They're actually so quick. Why has he given, like, you know? But he has written it all for himself because he knows he's his own director. He's actually found the scene while writing it in thorough detail. And it's just too many words for like one little beat. He's taken half a page, you know. So, but actually in real, when you see a Hereditary, you will see it just happened in a flash. What he's taken half a page should fucking describe. But that's his process. Some writers, for example, like Sorkin, like, you know, he will be so sharp on paper. Because he knows he's writing for a director with the class of like a Fincher. And so that's a different arrangement. So this is the thing. There's no process right or wrong. But the more you read, the more confident you will be about how to channel this. That's the only way. So swimming, it's a life skill. If screenwriting is a life skill, you'll have to do it to learn it. After doing it for a few years, if you then take up a workshop, which helps you understand why aren't you growing, I think those will benefit you more. But if you just think that it is like getting through this course or that course that's going to lead you to like become the best writer, I'm sorry, that is the reason why it's not happening. So don't focus on externals. Focus on actually, bilkul zero rupee mein hoga ye. Zero rupee mein. All the screenplays are easily available. You just have to download them. Bring the patience to read them. Break them down on paper. Do it. It's a fun exercise to do. Then go watch that film again. Go watch that scene again.
For me, guys, my takeaway are just two words. Reading a screenplay is a must. And restarting your screenplay is a must. Like
Rewriting.
So yeah, these are the two takeaways for me. And thank you, Atika ma'am and Atika, for being such such an insightful guest and such a fun talk. I hope you had an equally good time.
I had a great time.
So thank you for your time and hope to catch you guys later. Thank you guys and thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it and found some answers and insight. If you liked it, please subscribe the show and share it with your friends. You can also follow us on Instagram for regular updates. Details mentioned in the description. Thank you for your time.